is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hello, I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and welcome back to another episode of Tennessee Talks. Today I'm joined by a man who goes by the name Legend. Legend is an Afghan-American and former U.S. Army non-commissioned officer. They call him non-coms back in the day. He deployed to Afghanistan multiple times to serve our great nation, and during President Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, Legend went to Afghanistan to rescue individuals who were left behind, including American citizens. And I remind the viewers that Afghanistan was where 13 Americans died on that last day, and one of them was an East Tennessean, a Knoxvillian, lived out in Corrington, his family does. Staff Sergeant Ryan Knaus. I know his family very well. But Legend leads an organization dedicated to U.S. veterans where he advocates for and supports the Afghan resistance in the war on terror. Legend, thank you so much for joining me today, brother.
Thank you for inviting me, sir.
A big honor.
Thank you for inviting me.
How did you feel when the Taliban first took over Kabul in 2021, and what were your initial thoughts?
Well, as an Afghan, as a person who was born in Afghanistan, knowing the history of Afghanistan, knowing how Afghanistan, the people in Afghanistan have suffered, and how they have stood by besides the United States in two of America's major wars, the Cold War, as well as the global war against terrorism.
Right.
And how Afghanistan and the people have been betrayed and abandoned so many times. So seeing that as an Afghan, as a person from there, I felt that this is a very unfortunate and unlucky country. But at the same time, looking at the same scenes that we all saw in August as an American veteran, I felt betrayed. Having served in Afghanistan, it felt as, well, what happened was completely against all the values that I was taught as an American soldier, the values that I hold even to this day. It goes against the values the American people hold. And so it felt like a betrayal, and it hurt me in particular on so many different levels.
Well, how might the evacuation been a little different if the president had made the withdrawal decision based on a measure of operational success instead of just a set date?
Well, things could have gone a lot better. My personal opinion is this. If President Biden had listened to the sound advice given to him by the American generals, by the intelligence community, by the Republic of Afghanistan, things would have been very different. And what I mean by that is we wouldn't have 27 different terror groups in Afghanistan today. We would still have a constitutional republic.
And how many terror groups did you say?
27 terrorist groups, right. Including Al-Qaeda. We would not have what became known as the Abbey Gate bombing. There were intelligence from the NRF. If President Biden in August had listened to the intelligence from the resistance, we could have prevented the Abbey Gate bombing. 13 Americans would not have been killed unnecessarily, along with nearly 200 Afghan citizens. So it could have been done a lot better. If the intention and the objective was to leave Afghanistan, bring back American citizens, this could have been done in a much more honorable way, in a way where we didn't have to give over Afghanistan to the Taliban. We didn't really have to see American soldiers and Marines standing shoulder to shoulder with the Taliban and watching the Taliban execute Afghan children, women, our allies, and not being able to do anything about it because of lack of clear rules of engagement.
Yeah, things rules of engagement. That's what got our folks killed.
I
interviewed the sniper. I asked the question in committee, and he was literally blown up. I forget, it's 20-something operations or something that poor guy's had. And he had the suicide bomber in his sights twice. That's basically what his testimony said. And he was told by our Pentagon or so-called military intelligence to stand down and not take that shot. And that is our rules of engagement. And I think that would get more people killed.
It's unfortunate what happened to Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews, and it's a tragedy, and it could have been prevented. In fact, no one has been held accountable for what happened during that date.
Yeah, and that's a disgrace. It really is, man. I looked at that. You know, my dad's an old Marine. Was passed away, of course, but he's an old World War II Marine, and there's a very tight-knit brotherhood there.
Absolutely.
And I hurt for that young man. Well, let's discuss the $40 million weekly payment the United States is making to the Afghan Central Bank. And if it's fallen into Taliban hands, I think it's very timely since we're approaching our tax day. Let you know where some of your tax dollars are going. What's your thoughts on that?
The short answer, Your Excellency, is yes. The money does end up feeding and supporting the Taliban.
You can call me Tim. I just require my family to call me Their Excellency. That's usually when I'm taking the trash out, by the way.
How about Congressman?
Okay, that's fine. Great. Tim's even better. Dude, we're good, legend.
So the short answer is yes, money does end up supporting the Taliban, reaching the Taliban. But it's a very complex issue. It's not that complex. Explaining it will take a long time, several hours. But to just break it down and give you a brief overview, this is $40 million of American people's tax money that is shipped to Afghanistan by the current administration every week. And this has been going on since September 2021 for over 2.5 years now. So every week, $40 million ends up in Afghanistan. The intention, what the State Department tells us is that this money goes to the Afghan International Bank and is then given to what is known as local implementing partners or NGOs. But this is not really what happens. The money does go to the Afghanistan International Bank, but the AIB, lacking any authority to auction or convert that money, hands over that $40 million to the Taliban-controlled central bank. Now, at the Taliban-controlled central bank, there are individuals such as the number two in that central bank. His name is Nur Ahmad Agha, and he was sanctioned, and he is still sanctioned by the United States for financing IED attacks against American soldiers that killed American soldiers. So this $40 million reaches him, and he holds what is known as an auction or bidding, where that money is basically given to the hawala system, individuals who are involved in the hawala, licensed money dealers, who then convert this money. And so during this bidding and auction, what happens is they invite individuals who hold that license, who are able to convert that money. And since 2021, every week that they hold this bidding, the winner of the bidder is always individuals associated with the Haqqani network, a sanctioned terrorist group. And so these individuals then take that money and they convert it into Afghani. And then what happens is they make between $1 to $3 million profit every week. And a portion of that goes to the Haqqani network. Another portion goes to the terrorists running the central bank. And then that money is given to the local implementing partners or NGOs. Now, it's not the end of the story once it reaches the NGOs, because there's about 900 NGOs, and all of these are newly established NGOs, whose licenses and permits to operate were provided to them by the Taliban. And so they're all pro-Taliban. I'll give you an example.
Are these NGOs sanctioned by the United States?
They're all new, no.
Okay.
They're all newly established. They were all established after the Taliban came. So if I, as an American veteran and as an Afghan, go and open an NGO in Afghanistan today to operate, the Taliban will not give me a license, because I will not support the Taliban. But if any Taliban sympathizer, supporter, ask for an NGO license, the operator license, the Taliban end up providing that license.
Wow.
So there's 900 of them, and then they get the aid, and then once they have the aid, they either give a cut directly to the Taliban and other terrorists, or they end up sending the aid and the cash to areas where there are Taliban sympathizers, Taliban fighters, Haqqani fighters, families of suicide bombers are known to have received this aid, including families of would-be suicide bombers.
Sure.
And there's multiple other ways the Taliban continue to profit from this, not only the $40 million, but also the U.S. and U.N. aid packages that go there as well. To just sum it up, I'll tell you this, sir. If the United States today suspended that $40 million going to the Taliban-controlled central bank, within a year, you will see signs of Taliban crumbling, and not only Taliban, all the other terrorist organizations that are there as well.
So it's a complicated money laundering system, and everybody gets their cut.
Yes, sir.
And then I see. And then everybody's getting rich, it sounds like.
And you don't have to take my word for it. It's hard because the United States has lost 98% of its intelligence collection capability in Afghanistan. Yeah. People don't really understand what is going on. And so you don't have to take my word for it. Go and investigate this matter for yourself. Or in fact, take the testimony of Mr. John Sopko from CIGAR, where he said he cannot assure the American people that their tax money is not funding the Taliban today.
Yeah,
so take
that was another question
it.
I asked, and that
Some
was the answer. I thought that'd be a headline somewhere, but it just didn't get the publicity. Well, let me switch gears just a little bit here. China, of course, is our greatest adversary, as we've seen in everything. Especially on the world stage. What do you, the folks watching and listening, need to know about China and the Taliban?
So I'll have to give you my assessment as an American veteran who's a member of this resistance, but I cannot give you the official position of the resistance. That can only be given by His Excellency Commander Massoud. As an American veteran, when I've been to Afghanistan, what I've seen, what I know is the following. 2 days after the President Biden ordered the complete withdrawal from Afghanistan, on September 2nd, a plane that departed from China landed in Bagram Airfield in Parwan province of Afghanistan. There's a 12,000-foot runway there. This plane carried about 150 different Chinese nationals, and what they did is they rebuilt Bagram. They gave life back to Bagram. What happened when the U.S. forces left Bagram Airfield, they destroyed whatever they could. And then when the Taliban entered Bagram, they also destroyed some parts of it. And then when the Taliban released the prisoners at Bagram, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda fighters, they further destroyed Bagram airfield. So these 150 Chinese nationals rebuilt Bagram quickly, and within 2 weeks, they were able to not only fix the electrical stuff, the generator, the power source, and then another plane carrying for more Chinese nationals landed in Bagram, and since 2021, there has consistently been about 350 Chinese nationals in Bagram airfield, and they don't really leave the base. Bagram, I've been there, I was stationed there, it's a huge base. It can house about 15,000 different personnel, and there are stores in there. There's a 12,000-foot runway, as I said. So they take off to China, and they come back to Afghanistan, and they never leave Bagram airfield. Other than this, the Chinese are also involved with and supporting the Taliban's defense ministry. There's a particular company in China called Norenco, which is a defense contractor, a defense company, the weapons manufacturer. They're known, Norenco is known, as you know, sir, for arms for minerals deals, where they show up to Afghanistan and other poverty-stricken countries, other countries where there's chaos, and they offer weapons, technology, in exchange for minerals. And as you know, Afghanistan has the world's largest deposits of lithium.
Yep.
Not only that, Afghanistan has gold. Chinese are involved in extracting gold, lithium. They have signed multi-billion dollars worth of contracts with the Taliban. And they're involved in many other ways. Huawei, a major Chinese company, they have installed hundreds of thousands of surveillance cameras in Kabul and other places in Afghanistan. They have basically given the Taliban a state-of-the-art surveillance system. And China is involved in many other ways. The Taliban, a Taliban criminal, a terrorist, recently met with the president of China and handed over his credentials, and he was accepted as Afghanistan ambassador, as Taliban's ambassador. So the Afghan embassy in China has been handed over to the Taliban, and similarly, the China's embassy in Afghanistan has been handed over and recognized by the Taliban, and the ambassador of China has also been recognized by the number two of the Taliban. China is involved in many other ways in Afghanistan as well, sir.
Yeah, I know there were. When we pulled out, as you mentioned, I said that, you know, they said, well, the Afghans, they're not technologically advanced enough to handle much of that. And I said, no, but the Chinese that will be coming in there will be. And that's exactly what you've outlined. Do we know anything about the rising security threats here in this country? It seems that we failed to break down those threats that we faced here after the withdrawal. And I've heard briefings from people that have been in briefings that we, in fact, are more vulnerable now. Would you expound on that a little?
I would say, again, the short answer, yes. I'm not in the intelligence community. I'm not active military. What I can tell you is this, sir. 27 different terrorist groups are in Afghanistan, including Al-Qaeda. And I'll start with a brief story. On the eve of 9/11, Bin Laden had only 400 pledged fighters in Afghanistan, and they were mostly only in Afghanistan. And Bin Laden, if you remember, we should understand that Bin Laden did not send a division of Al-Qaeda or a battalion of Al-Qaeda to the United States to carry out the attacks of 9/11.
Right.
He only sent 19 terrorists, and those 19 terrorists were able to change the course of the American history, Afghanistan's history, and to some extent, the world's history. And so today, if you compare those numbers, 400, today there are 16,000 Al-Qaeda fighters only in Afghanistan, and Al-Qaeda is present outside of Afghanistan. They're in Pakistan, Iran, and many other countries, including Europe. And this is just Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Just imagine with their numbers, with their manpower and weaponry and arsenal today, what they will be able to do, what they can do. And this is just like I said, Al-Qaeda. There's also ISIS, Taliban, Haqqani, and 27 other terrorist organizations in Afghanistan.
I'm going to run out of time. Let me ask you this. Why don't you ask me? I always hate this part of the program, but I let my guests ask me any question they'd like. You have a question you'd like to ask me?
Well, it's not every day you can get to ask a member of Congress a question, so I'll have to think about it, but the one thing that comes to mind is, you know, obviously, you get briefings of what is happening in Afghanistan today, especially with Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Taliban. And there's only one democratic force in Afghanistan that is standing up against them, and that's the National Resistance Front, led by His Excellency Commander Massoud. And they're fighting an international terrorist organization without any international support. And our veterans, we have an organization, Vets for NRF. American veterans are not okay with what's going on, and so they're all in support of the NRF. You have even members of Congress, your colleagues, who are not only supporters of Vets for NRF, but they support His Excellency Commander Massoud and the NRF and the anti-terrorism operations in Afghanistan, the continuation of the war against terrorism. So my question to you, sir, is, do you support the National Resistance Front and their activities against terrorism?
Absolutely. We've got to fight these folks, or they'll be here if they're not already here, for lack of a better terminology. And I think it's a disgrace to folks like yourself who've fought and folks that have died that we don't follow
through
with that.
I agree, sir. Absolutely.
It's beyond me the way we pulled that off. It's very disgusting, and it's a disgrace, really. But anyway, this has been very educational for me, and thank you so much for coming on the show, Legend. I know I speak for everyone in this great country. Well, most of us anyway. We greatly appreciate you and the sacrifice you made, brother.
We're honored to have your support, sir. God
bless
you.
Thank you, brother. God has blessed me, so thank you. And I'm Tim Burchett. This has been another unbelievable episode of Tennessee Talks, and I want to thank my buddy Legend for being here with us. So, as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.